Welcome back to Children of the 80s. I am one of your hosts, Jim, and joining me as always is Nurse Ratched.
Listen, I haven't smashed your leg up in any way.
That would be Annie Wilkes from Misery. Nurse Ratched was the mean nurse from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I give you your pain meds every time you ask for them, and then sometimes powdered up in your food.
That's what I'm worried about. Pretty soon, I'm going to have a frontal lobotomy like McMurphy.
Oh, and insert evil laugh here. Oh, how you feeling?
I'm making it. I'm getting by okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah,
I'm proud of you.
Starting to get a little bored and a little anxious. I wouldn't say bored because I've had plenty of work to do, but just a little anxious of laying around and not being able to get up on my feet. That's very frustrating. But all things considered, I'm not in pain. The surgery took away the pain. Except for that night that you shamed me into the shower after you told our audience that I hadn't showered in so many days. And then as I was getting out of the shower, you stabbed me with the scissors, causing me to fall on my bad leg, which was actually more painful than the actual torn Achilles itself.
Okay. That is not exactly how it happened.
I mean, I paraphrased, but that's pretty much how it happened.
Jim freaks out anytime he sees me come near him with a sharp object.
Because you come at me with your hand shaking like you're a Parkinson's patient.
I was just trying to help.
I know you were, but the shaky hands with pointy objects and skin always frightens me.
And you overreacted.
And I overreacted, which caused me to fall.
Which caused you to lose your balance and go down.
And go down.
That was a sight to see. I'm glad, though. It appears to be, though it may have hurt your ego, it didn't hurt your leg.
It did hurt my leg very bad.
Well, I mean, I know, but not long term.
It didn't cause damage.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, but no, it did hurt. It was not pleasant, but after, you know, four times the prescription pain pills that I'm allowed to legally have, it all went away. And I'm still alive to talk about it.
Those are the pain pills that they're like, don't take too many. You will stop breathing.
Yes. That's what they told me at the hospital. They were like, so listen, you know, when you go home, you have to concentrate. Like especially when you're like falling asleep, you have to concentrate on breathing because pain pills make your body not want to breathe. And I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go to sleep.
We came home in the afternoon after surgery and you were just like laying there with your little eyeballs just glued open, determined to stay awake.
It was as if I was Heather Langenkamp trying to not go to sleep so Freddy Krueger couldn't haunt me in my dreams.
Well, I love the positivity coming from you over there because this is how I'm feeling. Can I play a little something for you?
Afternoon, everybody.
Norman?
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
Well, it's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Is that how you feel?
That's how I feel these days.
The dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
That's one of my favorite
quotes. That is something that I remember from being 10 or 11 or 12 years old, however old I was when that aired. I remember that, and I thought that was hilarious then, and I still think it's hilarious.
Yeah, so it's hilarious when you're 8, 9, 10, just because, you know, you picture that and how funny that would be. It's funny now because we've all literally felt it.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, so, that's good stuff.
Not had the best week, but I am thankful that you're doing really well, and this too shall pass.
It will. It will in about 9 to 12 months.
Yeah. Well, again, it's like a pregnancy.
My ankle is pregnant.
It's going to birth a baby
as
ankle.
As long as it doesn't birth an alien. So we're getting some good feedback on our tournament.
Like, I love that people love it.
Everybody is seeming to enjoy this. This is fun. This is something that I'd planned on doing once a year. Now I may do it once a month, once a week, a day.
Settle down there.
We will probably do some more of these as it's been so much fun, and it's been so much fun collaborating with the other podcast hosts. And you know, the listener is enjoying it. And for that, I am thankful and happy, because that's really what I wanted. This was a dream I had many years ago about figuring out what the best TV theme song was before podcasts ever started. This was something that was in my head.
Really?
Yeah. And so now that we're getting to actually run through it and people are enjoying it, that just makes me even happier.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And I just love the interaction with the other podcasters. That's a lot of fun to me. And so it's been great to get to know everybody just a little bit better.
Absolutely. Sadly, if that's the only reason why you're joining us, this is not a tournament episode here.
Oops.
But we'll get to that in a minute. However, we do have two more episodes coming up. We've got the Sweet 16 coming up, and joining us for that are going to be Sean from Smoking Sounds again and his wife Jess, because as you mentioned previously, you would like another female voice.
Yes, it's much needed.
Added into this, and they were great last time. Also, Jason Colvin from the Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast is now going to join us.
Jason, he's going for a record to beat Brad from Pop Culture Yearbook.
It's a race to the Five Timers Club.
Yep.
So he will be joining us. So we will have three Oklahomans. Oklahomans?
Oklahomians.
Oklahomians? Homo sapiens?
I didn't know what we were saying for a second.
We will have three Boomer Sooners joining us. Let's just put it that way. And then also joining us will be, rejoining us from the first round as well, will be Matt Cook from the Spinning the Wheel podcast. So we're going to have four guests. Matt's from Kansas, so it's kind of a Midwestern plains, flatlands type of podcast. But Matt is very upset about Knight Rider getting knocked off by Dallas. So when he does join us, I'm going to give him time. I'm going to let him do the old man rant about Knight Rider getting knocked out. Because if you remember the very first episode that we recorded, he said that Knight Rider was the greatest television theme song of all time.
I'm curious to, you know, hear his justification for that. And listen, everybody has the right to their own opinion. And
not Matt.
Not going to... Not going to argue with him on it, or not going to be too upset, but I don't understand that. I mean, it's, to me, there's just no comparison. So it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about it.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. This week and next week, we're taking a break from that tournament so we can get back to some of our regularly scheduled programs.
Yes.
There you go. So... you ready to get to it?
Wait.
Got one more thing.
Did you notice I've decorated?
Yes, you've got a Garfield poster up. You now have the Alf doll up. He is sitting above Ernie as if he is Ernie's king.
Yes. And there's some things behind you.
There's some things behind me.
There's when we get through recording, there's going to be Olivia Newton-John behind you.
Yes. I got a Caddyshack, like almost, yep. It's not really a poster. It's almost like a tin, like a painted tin. Up there, and I've got a little tiny baby Pac-Man machine that's, I think, is a Christmas ornament.
Yep.
That's up there. So, yeah, that's looking cool.
I know. See, here's what inspired me seeing
Dave and Rob.
Rob's background.
Yep.
I mean, that just, I got a little jealous.
And then Justin has a great background, too.
Justin has a fantastic background. Justin is the reason why I had to go find my elf.
So, I was trying to work on getting Justin into this next round. But it just couldn't happen. He's recording like 500 podcasts, and plus he actually has a family. But but we'll try to get him on for the finals.
I hope so. I always love his realness.
Yes, absolutely. He's always going to tell you how he sees it, whether or not he thinks it's going to upset you or not.
Yeah, so that's fine. No issues there.
All right. Well, are we ready?
We got anything else? I guess this is. You don't have an old man rant for me.
No, today. I don't have an old man rant today.
Oh, darn it. I don't have an old woman rant.
I've been stuck in the house. I mean, what kind of rant could I possibly have?
I mean, it would really just be based on you don't like the wall color anymore.
I haven't seen society in what feels like eons.
Yeah.
So
really, it's been a week.
I feel like I've been down in those limestone caves that they go to in the end of the world movies, where you've got to go and you live alone just to survive. And I would only survive so long because you have to hunt down your food at that point, and I don't even know where Doritos live.
Okay, on that note, this is a podcast that looks back on the decade of the 1980s. We talk about things that were important to us as children and what we look back on with fond memories as adults. Ultimately, this is a nostalgia podcast.
And today we are going to look back at the 1985 Academy Awards, or Oscars as they are commonly referred to, honoring movies that were released in 1984. We'll take a look at the winners, the losers, and in looking upon hindsight, see if there was anything at all that we would change.
Oh, there's a lot I would change
here. There's a lot you would change here?
Oh, maybe that should have been the old man rant.
Well, maybe we can do that next week. So are you ready to get to it then?
I'm ready.
All right. Why don't you give us some background information on these Academy Awards?
The 57th Academy Awards was held on Monday, March 25th, 1985 at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion in Los Angeles, California. They were broadcast in the United States by ABC, and the awards were presented in 23 different categories. Jack Lemmon was the host. It was his fourth time hosting, but it was his first time since 1972.
Oh, wow.
So he went quite a long time. 13 hours.
Or 13 years, not 13 hours.
Hours, yeah. That's a long time. The show went on for 3 hours and 10 minutes. It was watched by 38.9 million viewers.
I think that's a lot. I don't know.
It feels like a lot to me. That's right. About what we have on an average podcast episode.
Yes, especially since we had Pop Culture Yearbook on. Apparently, they carry a heavy Hong Kong influence, as we have had tons and tons of listens from Hong Kong this week.
That.
And I can only contribute that to them because they were on. So guys, thank you for your Hong Kong influence. And if I knew how to say thank you in Mandarin, I would say that. Or is it Cantonese? Either way.
I think it might be Cantonese.
Well, but either anyways.
Way. Bill Conti served. Bill Conti served as conductor and musical director.
You recognize
director.
That name, Bill Conti?
Yes, I do.
Who is it?
He's done all sorts of 80s movies.
Yes, Gonna Fly Now, Rocky.
Jimmy Stewart was presented with the honorary Oscar.
That's right.
The presenter was Cary Grant. Wow. Got some old timers.
Yeah.
In an effort to shorten the ceremony, 10 actors were announced as co-host and served as either presenters announcing two awards each or introducing other presenters and musical numbers. Now, let me tell you who those 10 actors were.
Okay.
Candace Bergen.
Murphy Brown.
Jeff Bridges.
The dude.
Glenn Close.
The Fatal Attraction lady.
The rabbit cooker.
The rabbit cooker.
Michael Douglas.
The man who caused the lady to be a rabbit cooker.
Gregory Hines.
Tap dancer.
Amy Irving.
No idea.
I don't know who that is. William Hurt.
My ankle hurts.
Diana Ross.
Yes, we love Diana.
Tom Selleck.
Anna's mustache.
And Kathleen Turner.
Oh, wow.
Chandler's dad. Now, pause for just a minute. Tom Selleck had a birthday a couple of days ago, and he turned 80.
80 years old, young. 80 Happy years birthday young. To the coolest guy of the 80s, Tom Selleck.
Yep. Okay, so can I just jump in for a second?
Yeah.
You had put it all together for us, like you always do, and I skimmed through this, and I'm like, I would rather go to the dentist for a root canal than sit down
and watch these movies.
Watch these movies, and I would much rather go to the dentist for a root canal than sit down and watch these Academy Awards.
No, now, are you telling me that you don't like Jack Lemmon?
I do like Jack Lemmon. I would have watched for Tom Selleck alone.
Right.
I would have definitely enjoyed probably the presenters. But I had to dig deep for something that made me say, okay, you know, I see you. I like it. But you know what? I realized that there were some really good musical performances at the Oscars that year.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you brought that up because I set this up like they do the real Oscars where they do like a beginning at the beginning to kind of get everybody like fired up and into it. And then they start going through some stuff that people don't really care about. And then, except for the filmmakers, obviously. And then gradually we move towards the end to the bigger awards. And I feel like some of that music stuff might be getting the beginning of the end as we start getting to the exciting.
So I'll just hold it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So our first award then is for performance by an actor in a supporting role. Do you know what that means? Actor in a supporting role.
Well, it means that he wasn't considered the lead in the movie.
Correct.
But he supported the lead.
Correct. That is correct. So the nominees are Adolf Caesar from A Soldier's Story. Now, I have never heard of Adolf Caesar. I've heard of Adolf Hitler, and I've heard of Julius Caesar. So maybe this was like
they had a love child,
The Omen or something here for A Soldier's Story. Hang S. Noir from The Killing Fields. John Malkovich for his portrayal in Places in the Heart. Pat Morita in The Karate Kid. And Ralph Richardson in Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes. Don't you love it when movies have a big, long, ridiculous title like Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes?
Yeah. Was there
a colon? There was a colon. Yeah.
Yeah. I love me a good colon.
All right. There we go, folks. This is what you get. You get insight on what I get to deal with every day, yeah, exactly, with these kind of comments. All right. So those were our nominees. And the Oscar goes to...
I need a drum roll. I'm not sure that was the drum roll I was looking for. Hang S. Noir from The Killing Fields. Now he was, is it a he?
Yes, because it's an actor.
Actor.
Not an actress.
He was, I want to say, the first Asian winner of the Academy Awards.
Yes, but it should have been Pat Morita as the first Asian winner of the Academy Awards for his portrayal as Mr. Okay. Miyagi. I bet Hang S. Noir or Nagore or however you say his name, I bet he didn't have wisdom for Danielson to beat up the Karate Kid bullies.
Might have just been war.
Might have just been war. What is it good for? Oh, absolutely nothing.
Do you really think Karate Kid was Oscar worthy?
So here's what I love. The movie, no, but his performance, absolutely it was. In fact, it was so shocking. Bill Simmons said this like many, many years ago when he did his write-up on the Karate Kids, which I emailed to you and you have yet to read yet.
How do you know
it is? I haven't brilliant read it. Because you would have brought it up because it's brilliant, okay, and funny and everything
I'll
else.
I'll look for it.
But he said Pat Morita, who formerly known as Arnold on Happy Days, being nominated for an Academy Award in 1984 Karate Kid was like the equivalent in 2005 of Mr. Belding being nominated for an Oscar from Saved by the Bell.
That's a really good comparison.
Yes. I just love the Karate Kid, and I feel like he should have won. But I know as a kid, walking through the room, my parents were watching The Killing Fields, and they said that it was a really good movie. So it was I've never seen The Killing Fields. We have The Killing Fields outside our house, yep, in between the shrubs where Gary goes back and kills all of his victims and, yep, keeps them there as if he's the serial killer from Kiss the Girls.
Yep.
But he keeps all his victims back there. So that's why we call it The Killing Fields. All right. Congratulations, Mr. Hang. Or Hwang, or Hang, or Hain. So, congratulations on that win. Our next category is for Achievement in Costume Design.
The nominees are 2010 Patricia Norris. Was this one of those things where they made a movie about it because they thought we'd really never reach it?
Maybe.
Were we riding around in like spaceships?
Yes.
A Passage to India, Judy Moorcroft. Amadeus, Theodore Pistek.
You're good.
Places in the Heart, Anne Roth. And The Bostonians, Jenny Beaven and John Bright. And the Oscar goes to
Amadeus, Theodore Pistek. Now, is this the movie that inspired Amadeus, Amadeus?
That's all Amadeus, Amadeus, I've had Amadeus in my head since I started reading these notes.
Rock me, Amadeus.
I can't get it out of my
head. So Amadeus obviously was the big movie from 1984. And
I mean, was it? Because you and I've never seen it.
No, we have not. That's what I was getting ready to say. And I have never seen it. But in fairness, there have been 10 different movies, or maybe not 10 different movies, but 10 different nominations from, it looks like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different movies. And I've only seen one of them.
Yeah.
Which was Karate Kid.
Yeah.
You know, because a kid's not going to watch Oscar-worthy movies.
No. That's, I don't even want to watch Oscar-worthy
movies. No, because you're still a kid at heart.
I really am.
So I can't say who should have won or who shouldn't have won, but I know Amadeus had some pretty cool, like, 1700s-looking costumes.
Gosh, how boring.
Are you saying Mozart's boring?
No, but I feel like the movie would be.
I bet they had some Mozart music in there, which would make it less than boring.
Okay.
All right. Our next category is achievement in makeup. And the nominees are 2010, Michael Westmore, Amadeus, Paul LeBlanc and Dick Smith, and Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes. Nominees, Rick Baker and Paul Engelin. Now, I will say that I do know who Rick Baker is.
Oh, you do? Why?
Rick Baker did the makeup and the special effects for An American Werewolf in London and then Therefore the Thriller video.
Oh, wow.
Amongst other things. He's one of the great special effects and makeup artists ever. But I will let you announce who won. And the Oscar goes to
Amadeus, Paul LeBlanc and Dick Smith.
Now, again, I haven't seen these movies, so I don't know who did the best in makeup. I know that Amadeus, I believe I've seen some trailers and stuff, and they had those powdered wigs and maybe some white powdery faces.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
I am glad that I didn't live in the 1700s.
We did that in the 90s with our makeup. I don't need to see the movie.
I certainly don't want to wear a powdered wig. I can promise you that. Seems like it might get a little warm.
Covered up the lice.
Yes. But I can tell you that Rick Baker is a genius. And so even though I haven't seen them, I feel like anytime he's nominated, it's kind of like John Williams. Anytime he's nominated, he should probably win.
Really? Well, he didn't.
He did not.
Okay.
All right. So the next category, best foreign language film. The nominees are, who cares? No kid cares about the best foreign language film. We hate reading, so surely we don't want to read subtitles when we go to see a movie.
Are we just skipping it?
Like I said, the nominees are, who cares?
Okay.
Your turn.
Moving right along. Best live action short film. The nominees are.
Oh, you want me to read the nominees?
Yes. There were always two people up on stage doing this together.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Tales of Meeting and Parting, Sharon Orrick and Leslie Linka Glatter, producers. The Painted Door, Michael McMillan and Janice L. Platt, producers. And Up, Mike Hoover, producer.
And the Oscar goes to
Up, Mike Hoover, producer. Now, is this Up, the cartoon that we love so much?
Yes. No, I don't think it is.
I would probably rather see that. All right. So like I said, folks, we're into the boring categories right now.
I mean, let's keep it rolling.
So there was a special achievement award for this particular year, and it was achievement in sound editing, and there was only one nominee, and therefore you can probably guess the winner.
Did they just maybe not give a winner?
Yeah. The nominee for achievement in sound editing was The River by Kay Rose. And that was also the winner, shockingly.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yes.
The next one is achievement in sound mixing. The nominees are 2010.
A bunch of people.
A Passage to India.
A bunch of people.
Amadeus.
A bunch of people.
Dune.
A bunch of people.
And The River.
A bunch of people. Listen, they had like 18 people on there. I wasn't going to list all of them, right? But I can tell you that the winner is Amadeus, 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 Amadeus. So Amadeus so far has like 150. Actually, they just have three, but I mean, still, that's a lot.
They're just like trying to like hold all of them. And
well, it's usually different people, but okay. But yeah, I mean, okay. So Our next category, we're moving on to a bigger one, and that is performance by an actress in a supporting role. And the nominees are
Christine Lottie, Swing Shift, Geraldine Page, The Pope of Greenwich Village, Glenn Close, The Natural, Lindsay Krause, Places in the Heart, and Peggy Ashcroft, A Passage to India.
And the Oscar goes to
Peggy Ashcroft, A Passage to India.
So the only movie I've seen out of these is The Natural. So, of course, naturally, I would have voted for Glenn Close. But Peggy Ashcroft was 77 years old when she won this award, and she became the oldest Best Supporting Actress winner up to that point. And still up to this point, nobody has...
Oh, what a cool thing.
Has beat it. So,
wow.
Congratulations to Peggy Ashcroft, although I don't think she's with us anymore.
Probably not.
Unless she is 118.
Okay, our next award or next category is Achievement in Visual Effects.
So this is the kind of category a kid can get behind because we love to see the effects.
The nominees are 2010, Richard Edlund, Neil Crepola, George Jensen, and Mark Stetson.
Did you say George Jetson?
I felt like I did.
Meet George Jetson.
Ghostbusters, Richard Edlund, John Bruno, Mark Vargo, and Chuck Gasper. So I said Richard Edlund on both of those.
You did.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Dennis Muren, Michael McAllister, Lorne Peterson, and George Gibbs. And the Oscar goes to
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Dennis Muren, Michael McAllister, Lorne Peterson, and George Gibbs. Now, I can say this. Three nominees, I would have been happy with 66.6% of them.
So if it was Ghostbusters or Indiana Jones.
Yeah, because those were two of my favorite movies from 1984.
Right.
But Richard Edlund also nominated for both, but he had a 66.67% chance of winning the Oscar, and he did not.
His odds were pretty good.
He did not win.
I mean, poor dude.
But Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which is a fantastic movie, one of the top 20 movies of the 1980s, that did win. And that would have made me happy had I been one of the 38.9 million people that were watching the Oscars. But I wouldn't have been because kids don't care about stuff like this. All right, our next category is for Best Animated Short Film.
The nominees are
Charade, John Menis, producer, Dr. DeSoto, Morton Schindel and Michael Sporn, producers, Paradise, Ishu Patel, producer. And the Oscar goes to
Charade, John Menis, producer.
All right, so I didn't see any of these, but to me, the winner should have been Daffy Duck's Fantastic Island.
What?
It was the Looney Tunes version of Fantasy Island, only Daffy Duck was Ricardo Montalban and Speedy Gonzalez was Little Tattoo going, oh, look, boss, the plane, that. The plane. So I know that movie came out in 1983, and this was for 84, but to me, that should be the winner every year, no matter what.
Oh, my God.
Daffy Duck's Fantastic Island. It combined the two things that I loved as a kid, two of the things that I loved as a kid, Looney Tunes and Fantasy Island.
You just unlocked a memory that I have not had in forever. I loved it.
I hope that I unlocked that memory for any of our listeners out there, because that was one of my favorites. We recorded it when it came on. We recorded on VHS, so I watched it dozens of times.
I bet. Yeah, okay.
All right. Our next category is for Achievement in Art Direction.
The nominees are 2010 Art Direction, Albert Brenner, Set Decoration, Rick Simpson. A Passage to India, Art Direction, John Box, Leslie Tompkins, Set Direction, Hugh Scaife. Amadeus, art direction, Patricia von Brandenstein, set direction, Carol Cerny. The Cotton Club, art direction, Richard Silbert, set decoration, George Gaines, Les Bloom. The Natural, art direction, about 472 different people, set direction, Bruce Weintraub.
You like that? I wasn't writing down all of their names.
And the Oscar goes to
Amadeus, art direction by Patricia von Brandenstein, and set decoration, Carol Cerny. Again, I'm choosing The Natural because I'm a kid and I love The Natural. Thoughts?
Just working my way to the end.
So you're not enjoying this, is what you're saying. Folks, this is why I am the higher paid of the two.
Yeah.
All right. Our next category is
Achievement in Cinematography.
The nominees are A Passage to India, Ernest Day, Amadeus, Miroslav Andrzejczyk, The Killing Fields, Chris Menges, The Natural, Caleb Deschanel, and The River, Vilmos Siegmund.
And the Oscar goes to The Killing Fields, Chris Menges.
So the Amadeus finally didn't win one.
Finally.
Because it has been crushing everybody.
I mean, they didn't have a hand to take another award.
But again, I would have chosen The Natural.
Right. Yeah, Little Jim would have.
Yes. All right. Achievement in Film Editing is our next category. And the nominees are
A Passage to India, David Lean, Amadeus, Nina Danovic, Michael Chandler, The Killing Fields, Jim Clark, Romancing the Stone, Don Camburn and Frank Morris, The Cotton Club, Barry Malkin, Robert Q. Lovett.
And the Oscar goes to
The Killing Fields, Jim Clark.
Now, I knew a Jim Clark. It wasn't this guy, though. Kid that I coached baseball, his dad's name was Jim Clark, I think. But I don't think he was the Oscar winner for The Killing Fields. I'm not getting anything out of you. It's like I may as well be doing this alone.
I've got some things to say, but you told me I've got to save them till the end.
You can. That's just for the music. You can say things about other stuff here.
Now I'm saving it all till the end.
All right. So now our next category is Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures. Or Original Score is really what it means.
Okay.
The nominees are A Passage to India, Maurice Jarry, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, John Williams, The Natural, Randy Newman, The River, John Williams, or Under the Volcano, Alex North.
So many that are deserving to win here.
Yes, there are.
But
who won? The Oscar goes to
A Passage to India, Maurice Jarry.
So I can say this. I don't know the score to that, so I don't know if it deserved to win or not.
I mean, we're talking about John Williams and Randy Newman here. I mean,
well, you've heard the score to The Natural.
Yes.
Ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum.
Uh-huh. That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome. And so is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Yes. So I would have been happy with either one of those when I don't know the score to A Passage to India. Maybe we should pull it up and play it.
So here's my issue with the Oscars in general, especially as a kid. I would go through a hard day at school learning, reading, writing, and arithmetic. There is no telling what I ran into along through my day, battles that I had to fight and homework I had to conquer and some words I had to learn to spell. All I wanted to do after dinner was sit down and watch TV.
But That's all you wanted to do.
All I wanted to do. Little Lynn's lived for 8 o'clock so I could watch whatever, you know, show was my show during that time. Oscars night always messed that up.
That's usually on a Sunday night, though. It's not on a school night.
This was Monday night.
Oh, this was Monday night.
This was a Monday night. Oh. Like, so here's what would have happened.
They ruined it for you.
My mom would have wanted to have watched, and I would have missed out. And if for some reason she hadn't have wanted to have watched, it would have preempted whatever ABC show, and I bet I was wanting to watch ABC that night.
In 1985, on a Monday night, possibly.
And so it just felt like a big bummer of a night.
So that's what you're upset about. That, is that what you were holding on to this whole time?
One of the things.
Okay, because that had nothing to do with the music. So
I'm
confused.
I've got something. No. We're going into what else I've got.
Here's the score to A Passage to India, by the way.
It better be good. Are you humming it or are you going to play it?
Well, it's going to play a commercial. Okay, so that's kind of catchy, but that's no Indiana Jones.
No, it's no Indiana Jones, but it's not horrible either.
All right. Next category is for achievement in music written for motion pictures, original song score. So I was a little confused, and I had to look this up, and I had to ask, what's the difference between song score and song? A song score refers to the written musical notation of a song, essentially the sheet music that shows all the notes, rhythms, and parts for a song, while a song is the actual musical composition itself, including lyrics and melody that you would listen to and sing along to.
That's complicated.
I know. In simpler terms, a song score is the blueprint for performing a song, while the song is the finished product.
Okay. Now that I get.
So this is for the song score, not the actual song.
Okay.
Go ahead and read the nominees.
The nominees are Purple Rain, Prince. Songwriter, Kris Kristofferson.
Wait, Kris Kristofferson was a songwriter for Purple Rain?
I'm assuming there must have been a song.
a movie called Songwriter, or a song called Songwriter, yeah.
The Muppets Take Manhattan, Jeff Moss.
And the Oscar goes to
Purple Rain, Prince.
Not a big surprise there.
No.
Although anytime you can get the Muppets an Oscar, I'm all for it.
Well, we've talked a lot recently with our different podcast co-host about how much we all loved the Muppets Take Manhattan back in the 80s. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. All right. The next category is for achievement in music written for motion pictures, and this is the original song. So the actual song that you would sing along to.
Is this, so are these the 1, 2, 3, the 5 songs that then would have been performed throughout?
Yes.
So can I get to me talking about that, or do we have to go through this first?
Okay, no, go ahead. Take it away.
Okay, so finally we have gotten to some redeeming quality about this show. And I thought it was really interesting, the performers that performed these songs during the Academy Award.
It wasn't the actual performers, was it?
Not necessarily. So Ray Parker Jr. and Dom DeLuise went first with Ghostbusters.
So let me announce the nominees, and then I won't announce the winner, and you can talk about who sang what. All right. Our nominees for original song are Against All Odds, parentheses, Take a Look at Me Now, in the movie Against All Odds, music and lyrics by Phil Collins. Footloose in the movie Footloose, music and lyrics by Kenny Loggins and Dean Pitchford. Ghostbusters in the movie Ghostbusters, music and lyrics by Ray Parker Jr. Although some people might argue that the music was by Huey Lewis. I just called to say I love you from the movie The Woman in Red, music and lyrics by Stevie Wonder. And then let's hear it for the boy in the movie Footloose, music and lyrics by Tom Snow and Dean Pitchford. All right, before we announce the winner, go with your flow.
Go with my flow. So I thought it was really interesting, the artist who performed each song. First, I thought it was a really great rundown of different songs.
Yes, absolutely. Like, all of these songs are fantastic.
I thought it was interesting. So Ray Parker Jr.
and Dom DeLuise?
And Dom DeLuise performed Ghostbusters. Now, what did Fat Dom do?
I want to know what Dom brought to the table besides some ketchup and mustard.
Exactly. I don't understand that. So I thought that was interesting. And then Denise Williams.
I know why you did that.
Yeah.
Because you used to work for somebody that would butcher people's names, everyone's, no matter what. Simple names.
Everyone's name.
Now, he was truly Key and Peele before Key and Peele.
Yes.
Right? But he wasn't doing it to be funny.
Oh, no. He was just that dumb. Anne Rankin, is that how you say her name? She performed Against All Odds. Because we've talked about Phil Collins before. That caused all sorts of controversy.
Was upset about it?
He was very upset. Do you remember?
I do not.
Okay, in the episode. So go back through all of our episodes.
It's called I Don't Care Anymore. The Phil Collins story is what it's called. I'm just
being funny. Okay, so yeah, that caused all sorts of issues. He didn't like it. He felt he should have been asked. But none of the original artists performed their songs at the Academy Awards. So I don't
really... Ray Parker Jr. did.
Well,
he just had a little bit of help.
Okay. And then, I don't know, Lonette McKee, I don't know who that is, but then Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson performed How Do You Feel About Fooling Around, On the Road Again, and Amazing Grace. Now,
those weren't nominated. Why were they performing those?
I don't know. They were the next performers after Anne Rankin.
Huh.
I was going to say, How Do You Feel About Fooling Around is one of my favorite Kris Kristofferson songs.
I don't know. It wasn't nominated for an Oscar.
Okay, well, we'll move on along then. It's also kind of ironic that apparently they did some kind of a medley and they combined How Do You Feel About Fooling Around with Amazing Grace.
Ooh.
Might not be too...
That songs. Wouldn't have gone over well in your mom's house. I can promise you that. All right, so... Getting back to the nominees, Against All Odds, Footloose, Ghostbusters, I Just Called to Say I Love You, and Let's Hear It for the Boy, five bangers, as I would like to call them, but the Oscar goes to...
I Just Called to Say I Love You in The Woman in Red, music and lyrics by Stevie Wonder.
That's your roller skating song, isn't it?
Yes.
So... what else were you going to talk about? Because you started talking about Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson, which wasn't nominated. So I thought you were done.
I thought it was interesting that Diana Ross performed I Just Called to Say I Love You, because it seems like Stevie Wonder couldn't have done that.
Yeah. Well, was Stevie as upset as Phil Collins?
And I don't know. He was also the first blind person to win an Oscar.
Who did Let's Hear It for the Boy?
Debbie Allen.
And who did Footloose?
Oh, I'm sorry. Debbie Allen did Footloose. Denise Williams did Let's Hear It for the Boy.
Oh, so she was the only one to do her own song.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, I don't know. Ray Parker did Ghostbusters.
Well, yeah, that's true. But he had help from Ketchup and Mustard Boy. All right. Are you ready to get to the biggies?
Yeah.
These are... the most prestigious awards as we wrap this up. That, what'd you say? The Oscars went 3 hours and 39 minutes. This is sometimes at times felt like this podcast has been 3 hours and 39 minutes. All right. Best original screenplay, or written directly for the screen and not adapted from a book or some other form. The nominees are
Beverly Hills Cop, screenplay by Daniel Petrie Jr., story by Danilo Bach, Daniel Petrie Jr. Broadway, Danny Rose, Woody Allen, El Norte, Gregory Nava, Anna Thomas, Places in the Heart, Robert Benton, and Splash, screenplay by Lowell Gans, Babalu Mande, and Bruce J. Friedman.
Let's do the Babalu, Lucy.
Woo!
All right. The Oscar goes to Places in the Heart, Robert Benton. I would have chosen Beverly Hills Cop or Splash.
For sure.
But those are also the two movies out of the five that I've seen.
You wouldn't have gone with El Norte?
I don't even know what that means. It's a different language. Sounds like the foreign language film.
Okay. The next category is Best Adapted Screenplay. The nominees are...
A Passage to India, David Lean. A Soldier's Story, Charles Fuller. Amadeus, Peter Schaefer. Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes. P.H. Vazic, Michael Austin. And The Killing Fields, Bruce Robinson.
And the Oscar goes to...
Amadeus, Peter Schaefer.
Wasn't he David Letterman's sidekick?
That was his brother, Paul.
Okay.
And then their sister, Mary, did something else.
Okay.
I almost feel like when we do these nominees, we should have like the score behind them.
That would definitely help.
It would definitely help this podcast, which sounds like it's crashing and burning like David Letterman at the 1996 Oscars. All right.
Okay.
Our next category is Achievement in Directing, or as people like to commonly call it, Best Director.
The nominees are A Passage to India, David Lean, Amadeus, Milos Forman, Broadway, Danny Rose, Woody Allen, The Killing Fields, Roland Joffe, Places in the Heart, Robert Benton.
And the Oscar goes to... Amadeus, Milos Forman. Amadeus is getting a lot of cheers this night. Our next category is for performance by an actor in a leading role. The nominees are...
Albert Finney, Under the Volcano. Wish I was under a volcano right about now. F. Murray Abraham, Amadeus. Jeff Bridges, Starman. Sam Waterston, The Killing Fields. Tom Hulce, Amadeus.
So two nominees from Amadeus for Best Actor, huh?
I mean, I wonder how they felt. You think there was some kind of like a competition?
Oh, they probably hated each other.
You think so?
Yeah. The Oscar goes to...
F. Murray Abraham for Amadeus.
And Tom Hulce has not spoken to him a day after this out of pure jealousy.
Blocked his phone number.
So I love Jeff Bridges. I've never seen Starman. ADA McCoy was nominated.
Yes.
In The Killing Fields. And I feel like he could have won too.
Yes.
We love us some Albert Finney as well, because he starred in Annie as Daddy Warbucks. But I've never seen Under the Volcano. Now, you said that you wish that you had been under a volcano. I feel like your heart isn't really into this. And so you're certainly not nominated for the next category, which would be performance by an actress in a leading role, because you're just mailing this one in.
The nominees are Jessica Lange.
Country.
What country?
Country music?
Judy Davis.
A Passage to India.
Sally Field.
Places in the Heart.
Sissy Spacek.
The River.
Vanessa Redgrave.
The Bostonian.
And the Oscar goes to...
Sally Field, Places in the Heart.
Orthodox career, and I've wanted more than anything to have your respect. The first time I didn't feel it, but this time I feel it, and I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
We all like Yes Alley.
She was so beautiful at that award show. She just has this natural beauty about her. And she was glowing.
Is she from Long Island? That sounded like a Long Island accent.
Oh, I don't know. Sally Field, I didn't hear an accent at all.
You like me.
I mean, are you trying to be Tattoo?
Yes. She's about as tall as Tattoo.
Yeah, she is. She's little. You know, she's 78 now. She was born in Pasadena, California.
Okay. Well, she sounded a little bit New Yorker there.
There you go.
All right. We've got one more category to go, which is probably makes Lindsay happier than the day that I asked her to marry me.
Best Picture.
The nominees are A Passage to India, John Braborn, and Richard Goodwin, producers. A Soldier's Story, Norman Jewison. Can I say that?
Jewison? I'm not sure you can.
Ronald L. Schwari and Patrick Palmer, producers. Amadeus, Saul Zaintz, producer. The Killing Fields, David Putnam, producer. I think it would be better if it was David Putty. Places in the Heart, Arlene Donovan, producer.
And the Oscar goes to
Amadeus, Sal Zintz, producer.
So Amadeus, they left with a boatload of awards.
Yeah, they I don't know if it was the Oscars. Was it that good or was 1984 that bad? 1984 to me is like the greatest year in movies of the 80s. I've looked through all the years and it's either 84 or 89. So it's hard for me to believe that Amadeus would win all these. And I haven't even seen Amadeus. If it's that good, maybe I should see it. But it looks to me like they just kind of like ran through this like a train. They're like the 85 Bears. Apparently 85 was just the year of just domination by stuff. The Bears, Amadeus, me at wiffle ball in the backyard, you know, lots and lots of domination. So the three, it looks like it's got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Oscars.
Oh, wow.
For Amadeus. And who knows, it maybe it won some that I even skipped because there's, you know, a bunch of fluff in the Oscars. It's just a bunch of people patting themselves on the back.
So Prince, obviously, he won for Purple Rain for Best Original Song Score. Mm-hmm. And did you know that that category was retired after his win?
Because they said nobody's going to do it. You know what? They should have retired Super Bowl halftime after Prince's singing Purple Rain in the rain.
Yes, they should have.
Because it they should have just retired it and said nobody can do it better.
So let's
it's all over. Let's just end it. Because that's what they did here for the Oscars. Do you hear me, Roger Goodell? Wrap up the Super Bowl halftime show.
So let me just say, I'm not the only one who thought that the 1985 Academy Awards
stank.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chicago Tribune TV columnist John Anderson wrote, quote, "Like a whale on a diet, Monday night's 57th Academy Awards ceremony was leaner and trimmer than past shows, but seemed to have lost something. The show, still fat, lacked spirit," end quote.
So 3 hours and 40 minutes, and you're saying it's leaner than before?
Yep.
Like a whale on a diet. I thought you were talking about me for the next month after I get up.
He compared host Jack Lemmon's hosting performance as luncheon club amiability.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that a compliment or
no? He referred to the previous year's host, Johnny Carson's hosting ability as Las Vegas sharpness.
So I remember Johnny used to do it. Bob Hope used to do it.
Yep.
The best of my lifetime, not counting like Johnny and Bob Hope because I was too little, but the best host that I've seen since I've been adult has actually been Billy Crystal.
Yes, I agree with
Billy Crystal always does a great job, and I think they've retired him now as well, but I always thought Billy did a great job as a host. He was always funny. He was always personable. he would get along, you know, with just about everybody. And so I just love Billy.
So Harold Schindler with the Salt Lake Tribune.
The said, Schindler's List guy?
Yes. Despite the ceremony's shorter runtime, it wasn't noticeably better, but it did provide plenty of copy for a TV bloopers and outtake show or a segment in Life's Most Embarrassing Moments if ABC cares to use it someday. Oh,
gosh. That's brutal. So I would say the only good thing about this Oscars to me, other than Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom winning for visual effects, it's probably the original songs.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Against All Odds, Footloose, Ghostbusters, I Just Called to Say I Love You, Let's Hear It for the Boy. Those are some good songs.
Those and are you, some fantastic songs.
You usually
songs.
Don't get five songs, and I'm pretty sure all five of them hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
Yes, they did.
Did they? Oh, mm-hmm. You've done the research for that.
I have done it.
Wow. I was just looking at it going, okay, I know that Let's Hear It for the Boy did. I know for sure Footloose did. Ghostbusters, certainly. I know I Just Called to Say I Love You did. And then I was like, Against All Odds is the only one that I would question.
And I feel like that's the first time that that had ever happened.
Wow. That's fantastic. So that was the only fun part of the Oscars and apparently the only fun part of this podcast episode.
Yeah. Kind of a little bit of a drier
one. Well, we apologize to the listening audience for this.
So that wraps up our look back at the 1985 Academy Awards. But we want to know what you think.
Did the right songs and or artists win? Did we pick the right ones? Because, you know, we're just going with kid ones. We're going with Karate Kid and Indiana Jones and Ghostbusters and all that stuff. And who would you have picked? Did you like any of these movies that were nominated? A Passage to India, A Soldier's Story, Amadeus, The Killing Fields, Places in the Heart. Did you like these movies? Were they any good? Or were they just a bunch of Hollywood fluff that nobody really cares about?
I want to know what people thought about the award show in general.
The award show in general, yeah, if people remember watching it?
Yeah, did they watch it? Did they hate it like I did? Like, what were their feelings on that?
I think what most people remember, at least what I remember most from this, is Sally Field's little speech there that you played.
Yes, yes, no doubt.
All right, well, that wraps up another episode. Stick with us next week as we come back. You know what we're doing next week? I am going to give my top 10 people responsible for the death of Apollo Creed.
Oh, no. Okay.
So that's what we're doing next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the Sweet 16 of our tournament, followed by, I don't know what it's followed by yet. It's either going to be the finals of the tournament or it's going to be another episode. And then stay tuned because we've got our 100th episode coming up.
Excited about that.
And that's going to be a fun one. So we've got something I find very humorous planned for that.
So can't wait for that one. So go ahead, if you haven't, hit the subscribe button so you're guaranteed to not miss an episode.
If you wouldn't mind, give us a 5-star rating and review, as this may or may not help our show grow, depending on which old wives' tale you believe about the interwebs.
But go ahead and tell somebody.
Yeah.
We think that's the best way to get our name and our show out there, is if you liked us, go ahead and pass the word around.
Yes, we've been getting a lot of feedback lately about how people are liking us and then they're telling people. So
I love that.
We greatly appreciate that.
Yep.
Got an email or a message from Sean, not Sean from Spoken Sounds, but a listener, Sean, who said that he's really enjoying it. He's one of the newer listeners and that he's already told a few people. So thank you for that, Sean.
And you can find us on all the socials. We are on X, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. You can also always email us at
childrenofthe1980s@gmail.com.
And until next time,
I'm Jim.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are
Children of the 80s.
Are over. Amadeus was the winner. Our listeners are the losers. 'Cause this show's gonna suck. Show's gonna suck. I said the show's gonna suck. Oh, that was bad. You didn't give me any help. We'll probably get canceled after this.